So welcome to class 10 of 10 of our series, The Principles and Practices of Prosperity. Tonight, we will do a review, and then we will look at some things that we need to do to stay in the flow and keep the flow of abundance moving in our lives. And really, that comes down to how do we apply, how do we embody, and how do we make the practices we've learned over the last 9 weeks a regular part of our life. A regular part of how we live, a regular part of the things that we practice and do in our lives. See, this was more than just a course. This was really a system to change our consciousness, to shift our consciousness, to deepen and expand our mindset. It was really trying to teach us a way of being and experiencing and expressing greater abundance in our lives, and particularly the daily awareness that we live and move and have our very being in God's rich, abundant kingdom. That we live and move and have our being in God's unconditional love, God's peaceful presence, and God's infinite intelligence and unlimited possibilities. To know that even in moments of fear and lack and frustration, that we know that abundance is always in and around us. It is always available and accessible. Like right now, the sun isn't out. But we know the sun is there. That we can't feel it in this moment, but we trust and know it is there and it will always be there available to us. And the fact is, there are moments in our lives we aren't going to feel fully connected. That we aren't going to feel a sense of joy and love and peace. But to absolutely know that even in those moments that we don't, have a greater awareness that it is there, available and accessible. And that if we keep practicing these principles, we will reconnect with the thing that we feel a bit disconnected to. And if I had to pick one word to describe what we would need to stay in the flow, it would be the word commitment. How committed are we to living and embodying and expressing and practicing these spiritual principles? It's about the consistency and commitment of doing these things on a daily basis that really is what brings about our lasting and fulfilling and increasing experience of abundance in all of its various forms. In the last 10 weeks, we have worked hard at bringing a change of our experience of prosperity by changing our consciousness and our awareness of prosperity. So let's do a little brief review of the last 9 weeks. In the first week, we looked at the importance of really understanding abundance, its nature, and what it really is. And the three things about the nature of abundance that we learned is that it is natural, that it is unlimited, and that it is spiritual. In so many ways, our mind has been trained to think that prosperity is rare and lack is normal. That lack is the normal way and prosperity is rare. And the truth is, it is the exact opposite. Abundance is a natural part of life. There is more air than we can breathe. There's more stars than we can count. There's, you know, more sun. There are more love. There's more love. There's more ideas. There is more of all that we could ever need. You know, we could love as much as we could possibly love. We're not going to run out of love because there is always an abundance because that we live and move and have our very being in it. And that the very source of that is not what can be seen, but is the invisible Spirit of God. It is the everything that we see has come from the invisible, unlimited substance of God. Every chair, all of our clothes, our glasses, the lectern, our phone, everything seen comes from what is unseen. And it is that invisible part of who we are. It's that visible part of life that literally makes, that is the foundation of everything that we see and that is possible. And so the most important way to connect with prosperity is connect with that invisible spirit. Connect with that very source out of which all this good comes from. And to understand that prosperity and abundance, we have limited it by thinking it's only money. Yes, money is an important part of our lives and how we live. You know, but peace of mind is huge. You know, feeling loved, feeling a part of or a sense of belonging, feeling a level of laughter and creativity and energy and balance. You know, being generous, you know, being a good receiver, being a good giver. You know, celebrating the success of other people or being optimistic when life isn't going as well as you'd like it to. I mean, I could list thousands of things that prosperity is really all about. And we limit our experience of prosperity when we think it's only money. And when we expand it, we, as we've heard so many other great stories, we literally expand our experience of abundance, of God, of life, of relationships, of ourselves. Prosperity is an internal experience, not an external condition. And the greatest thing we need to do is keep working on the internal experience to expand the kingdom of God within us by seeking God with all of our hearts. That's why that 40-minute practice is the foundation. It is the most powerful practice you can do to bring peace or healing or joy or any form of abundance or good that you want in your life. Week two, we talked about the law of giving and receiving, or the law of circulation. And just like inhaling and exhaling, things need to flow in, things need to flow out. Jesus said that law, and I call it the activating principle, the circulating and the increasing principle, is when you give, you receive. It says, as you give, so too shall we receive. It just happens. Because often energy in our lives are stuck. That's why we feel unhappy, feel like our life isn't progressing, is because energy is stuck in some way. And giving in all of its various forms, from giving of our time and serving, for tithing. I mean, there are all the different ways that we can give of our love, of our kindness, our support, our care. All those things get that energy that's unblocked moving and circulating in our lives. You know, and it says God loves a cheerful giver. So it's not just going through the mechanics of giving, it's joyously giving. You know, it's cheerfully giving, it's gratefully giving. You know, that when you do that in that spirit, the energy moves and multiplies and increases in our lives. It just does. But an important part of that aspect of giving and receiving is learning how to be a good receiver. God loves a cheerful giver, but you got to be a good and willing receiver. Sometimes we have a hard time receiving love, receiving help, receiving support. You know, sometimes we have this idea, I should be independent and not accept help. No, we actually block our own good by not being willing to be vulnerable and either asking or accepting help. So giving is the activating principle, but being a good receiver is an important part of circulation. And so whether that giving is all of its forms, from serving others, helping others, and tithing, keeping all that energy moving, it's just one of the keys to a fulfilling life. Week three, we talked about a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And where there is a vision, people prosper. Why? Because when you don't have a vision, you dissipate your energy. But when you have a vision, you direct it. You create a channel for how you want this abundance that's invisible to be shaped. And it could be shaped into a loving relationship. It could be shaped into a successful career or financial success or taking off a couple of strokes of your golf game. It doesn't matter, because it's what is your vision and your picture of what you would like a prosperous life to look like. And for many of us, we don't ask ourselves the question enough, and is, what do I want? Who have I come here to be? And what does the relationship look like that I would like to have? My career. I mean, we could go on all the different areas, but what do you want your life to look like and feel like and be like? And the clearer we are, the clearer and more efficient we are in directing our creative energies. Week four was about letting go of limiting beliefs. I believe 100% if you're ever stuck in any area of your life, the number one question to ask is, what do I need to let go? Or what am I holding on to that isn't serving my highest and best anymore? Sometimes we hold on to relationships that aren't working anymore. We hold on to old dreams. Sometimes we hold on to ideas that I'm not good enough, or life is unfair. You got to struggle and fight for everything. There are things that we hold on to that aren't helpful. And one of the hardest but most liberating practices there is letting go in all of its forms, particularly letting go of limiting beliefs. And this requires some level of self-awareness to realize, wow, I actually believe da-da-da-da-da. And many of us believe, you know, some things that aren't healthy, that aren't true. And we live in those little limited boxes, and we need to be aware of it so we can liberate ourselves from it. And we talked about the different practices of affirmations and denials and filling your mind with greater truths. Week five was another form of letting go, and this is the emotional component of letting go, and that's forgiveness. Sometimes we hold on and hold on to bitterness. We hold on to grudges. We hold on to resentments. We hold on to anger or shame or guilt. And forgiveness is the way we free ourselves from those toxic thoughts and emotions and energies. You know that line from Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." That I tell you 100%, you do not need to know how to forgive. You just need to be willing to forgive. Are you willing to let go of the story? Are you willing to let go of the pain? And a part of the things that sometimes stops us from being unwilling to let go and forgive is because when we let go and forgive, it means we're responsible for our lives. There's no more excuse. It's like, this is the deal. So what we do is when we forgive, you not only let go of the pain, but you reclaim your power. And to reclaim your power means we need to accept full responsibility for our lives. Week six, we talked about gratitude, blessing, and praising. Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer you ever prayed was thank you, it would suffice. That gratitude and thanksgiving is so powerful that it helps us do four things. Number one, recognize the good that we sometimes take for granted and don't see because we're so busy looking at what we don't have. Two, it acknowledges that God is a source. And when we're thankful to God, thankful for the source that makes all of it possible, it takes gratitude to that deeper spiritual level. The third thing is it helps us enjoy and appreciate what we have. It's one thing to have a lot of good stuff, but the question is, are you enjoying it? Are you really appreciating it? Are you using it? Sometimes we clean it and insure it and protect it and put it away, but are we really using it? And that we got to use our stuff, enjoy it, and appreciate it. And the fourth thing is that with gratitude, it's a magnetizing energy that attracts even more things to be grateful for. Gratitude's powerful. It moves your mind from lack to abundance, from negative to positive. I mean, it is a powerful thing. It opens your heart and your mind to greater levels of abundance and awareness of how blessed we really, really are. Week seven, we talked about faith, expectation, and detachment. You know, Jesus said, it is done unto you according to your faith. Faith is the powerful thing of being able to realize, even though I can't see something, I know there's greater good there. And faith is so powerful, it helps us also shape what that invisible possibility of good is. Faith is knowing that there's more good, even though I can't see it right now. That there's a greater life, there's greater joy, there's greater abundance and success, even though I can't see it. Just like the sun we were talking about a minute ago. That's faith. And expectancy in that good old line of Oral Roberts, something good is going to happen to me today. It takes the faith and it magnetizes it with excitement and energy, this joyful anticipation that really, really makes the journey of looking forward to whatever it is even more joyful and positive. And then there's this balancing thing of having faith and wanting it and expecting it with being detached and making sure we let it go. Because when we want it too much, think about it too much, why isn't it happening? We start worrying, we put resistance out, and it actually repels the very thing we want. And we wonder, why isn't it happening? It's because we have become more tense. We're not open channels, we become tense, rigid channels that close off. And by using that one simple line that Unity said, God, this or something better, suddenly you want it, you know what it is, but you can let go of the energy and saying, maybe that's the thing I want, but maybe there's an energy that's even better that'll come through if I just let go. And that's another form of letting go, of the many forms they are. And they're all good and they're all important. You know, I think Abraham Hicks calls this detachment the art of allowing. Can you just allow it? You know, in the 7 days of creation, the last one, God did what? Rested. So you do your thing, then you let it go so it can come forth. Okay, week eight was about worthiness. And I believe that our worthiness, our level of self-worth, of what we feel that we're deserving of, is the key thing that determines how much abundance and love is in our lives. The world could be filled with an abundance of good, but if I don't think I'm worth it, then we limit the channel through which that good can come to us and through us. Gay Hendricks says, we all suffer in some area with a ULP, an upper limit problem. That many of us, I'm sure in some areas, we are very prosperous with levels of love or joy, and maybe we struggle with our career. You know, maybe we have levels of abundance in, you know, in how educated we are, you know, but we struggle with being interactive socially. I mean, we can give all kinds, but every one of us has at least one area or two where we have an upper limit problem, and that usually is related in some way of how worthy am I? Can I really handle that much love? Can I really handle that much responsibility, that much money, that much greatness, that much success? And so we all need to work on increasing our upper limit in those areas, and the only way to do it is to realize that you are worthy, that you are deserving, beloved child of God. And as a loving child of God, this is a part of your divine heritage, is to be here to express all of the glory of God, all of the love and the fulfillment and the success and the creativity and the brilliance that has been placed in each of us. And that simple meditation that we did, I think, was the line from the book Lessons in Truth that Maya Angelou repeated over and over again, and that's God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I am God's beloved child in whom God is well pleased. I deserve all of the abundance and all the good God has prepared for me. God is love and I am love. And so just meditating on love, just meditating on it. And what happens is the more centered you are in God, the more that is not of God just falls away. So instead of always having to try and get rid of all those negative beliefs of what we're told about ourselves and not being good enough or loving or not amounting to anything, the more we spend time immersing ourselves in God's love, those things will begin to fall away because they're not of God. They're not the truth. We won't have to push them away as hard the more we're centered in that love and centered in God. Make sense? All right, week 9. Last week we talked about focus, action, and discipline. You become what you focus on. And so, you know, Les Brown said that we tend to focus more on our distractions than our destiny. Focus on what isn't working or what's hard or what's frustrating. And the fact is we all get distracted and pulled off course. We do. It's normal. It's like your mind wandering in meditation. But what you do, like the plane, keep coming back on course, keep coming back on course, keep coming back. And refocus on our intention to develop a prosperity consciousness, refocus on our vision of where we want our lives to go, and refocus on the feelings we want to create, the prosperous, joyful, fulfilling lives we want to, you know, to be confident, to have meaning in our lives. So, and then also you need to take action. Einstein said, nothing happens until something moves. You know, the scripture says, faith without works is dead. We could think about all we want forever. But at some point, you got to get up and do something. You know, we could be hungry, but you got to get up and go to the fridge, go to a restaurant. And so action is important. It is important. Consciousness is number one. But it also requires that we put things into motion. Sometimes there are actions we need to take. You know, and then, of course, discipline, our least favorite word in the world next to responsibility, is sometimes, you know, there's some days you don't feel like good and you still got to get up and do it. You know, moms are the most disciplined. I don't know, I mean, if baby crying, you can be sleepy, boom, it's there. And there are times in our lives with all of those situations, we don't want to get up, you know, we don't want to believe, we don't want to whatever, and we still know we need to do it if we want to be successful. So discipline is about doing the things you need to do when you know you need to do them. You know? And yeah, we'll have some days we'll miss. But overall, it is needed for success in any area of our life, including our spiritual practice. So week 10, we're going to talk about, so how do we keep this bad boy moving? You know, the class is ending, but your work is beginning, or at least it's continuing. And the fact is, our level of prosperity or peace is always a reflection of the consistent work of how connected we are to spirit. And so to stay, keep that connection, to keep that practice, to keep that energy moving and alive, to continue to experience the flow is what we're going to be talking about now. You know, it's interesting. People always ask me, if you were to do the top two or three, which would you do? Since, you know, since we can't do all 10, what would you do? So here's the four I would do. Number one, of course, is 40 minutes of seeking God with all your heart. There's no activity in the world that will bring you more results, more peace, more inspiration, more attracting the ideas and the people that you need for joy, greater health or energy than going to the very source. And yet your mind's going to wander. That's not ever going to stop. But you keep coming back and immersing your mind in the infinite intelligence of the divine, and good things will happen. And good things will happen as a result of you doing it consistently. The second one is a bit of a I'm cheating on this because I'm grouping, but it's to let go in all of its forms. That any time your life is stuck, go back to that question I said, what do I need to let go? And some week it might be, I need to forgive. I need to forgive myself, or I need to forgive someone else. Sometimes you ask that question, what do I need? What am I holding on to? Maybe it's some belief. Maybe it's a relationship. You know, maybe it's something from the past. You know, what do I need to let go of? Sometimes we need to be in service to others. We need to let go of that need to hold tight. And maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's being more helpful and encouraging to someone else. Because all of the forms, all of the areas of our lives where we get stuck, I guarantee you, it is something we're holding on to. And some form of letting go. And check in with yourself, you know, to see what it is that might be up for you. Is it a forgiveness thing you got to release the emotional energy? Is it a belief of letting go, you know, of some limiting or untrue thought? Is it about, you know, giving of your tithes? Because when we think of stuff like that, it could scare us and tighten us and close us off quickly. You know, sometimes it's like, I don't have time to go serve, blah, blah, blah. But I guarantee you, if you do, it'll open up. Energy's got to move, and all these forms of letting go are important. So check in daily. Is there anything I'm holding on to that I need to let go? Third is vision. You got to have some idea of what you'd like in your life. And I'll tell you, I'm a fan of two different things. It's like, I'd like to feel more joy and fulfillment in my life, or I would like a big house and a nice da-da-da-da-da. So sometimes I like going specific of things I'd like and say this or something better. Or sometimes I like, you know, I just want to feel more joy and peace of mind. I want to feel more fulfillment. It doesn't always have to be physical or tangible. It could be general. But to me, putting it out to the universe that you want some greater level of happiness or joy. Some people say you got to be really specific. I don't think you always have to be that specific. Because just even an intention to feel more peaceful, to feel more free, more exhilarated, to have more meaning in one's life. Those are kind of intangibles, but they're pretty significant. To wake up every day and feel a sense of joy and meaning in your life, you know, to me, I think that is just as powerful, even more powerful than increasing my income by X, which there's nothing wrong with that. Increasing my sales by 10%, you know, attracting more friends. Those are good too, but don't think it's got to be one or the other. Put a vision of your life in all of its various forms. Because what you want to do is open yourself to the universe for all the various forms of abundance, and there are all kinds of various forms. And finally, gratitude. To me, the greatest sign of abundance is how much you enjoy in your life right now. How much you're appreciating who you are, how much you're loving the people that you're with, how much are you enjoying what you're doing, who you're becoming. That sense of appreciation, to me, that's when you're most alive. And so those are the four that I would do. Again, I repeat, staying in the flow is about commitment and consistency. So what I would like you to do right now is write down a little plan for yourself of how you will support you and what you're going to be committed to and what you want to be consistent about in keeping your practice and keeping yourself in the flow. It can be three, it could be four, it could be whatever you'd like. Some of them may include listening to one CD a week again for the next 10 weeks. It could be staying in touch with your prayer groups by email once a month or week. It could be, you know, joining a meditation class or, you know, doing your 40 minutes of meditation every day. It could be anything you want. You know, some people, like Mary had said, you know, some people take this class over again, you know, in 6 months or in a year. They got the book already. It's easy and it's a good refresher. I've taught this class almost 20 times and I love it every time because it's a good reminder and it helps me recommit and deepen and make my spiritual practice more consistent. So write yourself, what is your committed plan that you want to hold yourself to be consistent? So there's another question to write for those who are ready to continue. And that is, to me, about change and transformation requires some self-awareness, you know, to always be aware of where we are, what we're feeling, how we're progressing. So I have three questions, but I'd really like to be four. And the first one is, what have you learned that's made the biggest difference for you in your beliefs and practice of prosperity? What has surprised you the most about this class, about yourself? And what has been the most challenging thing for you that's still going to need a little bit of work, that'll still need some work? The fourth question's kind of already in there, and that's, what have you learned about yourself? We're not sharing these, by the way, so these are just for you to do some introspection, because self-awareness is a key ingredient in our ongoing pursuit of personal transformation. What have you learned that has made the biggest difference? Are they written in there? Okay, yeah. And feel free to make up one of your own that, because, you know, there might be an angle that you're thinking of yourself that could give you some greater self-awareness, so. Okay, continue to write if you need to continue. And we'll just finish on the last point. And so I believe in developing a plan and being consistent and committed to these practices is important. And last one, just to reiterate, is that I think the most important thing is learn how to live now, how to enjoy now, how to be as alive now as you can be. There are so many things we want to chase and so many things we want to become and so many things we want to experience and achieve, and that's great. But the more alive we can be right now, the more engaged we can be in our lives now, the more present now, to me, then makes all the other times more fulfilling. Buddha said, take care of this moment, and you take care of all time. If you live this moment as fully and as lovingly, as joyfully, as deeply as you can, then you will take care of all your other moments. We don't need to be worrying about the other moments or wondering about getting to those other moments, because when you're here and fully engaged in it, amazing things happen. One of my great teachers is my sister Ariane. I remember I visited her and her husband in Montreal many years ago, and they were both students. They didn't have a lot of money. But I went there, and they were in a very humble little apartment, and she was cooking dinner, and they didn't have much, so we had eggs with whatever she could find in the fridge, which was little pieces of hot dog that she cut up, green peppers and red peppers and onions, and a couple of pieces of toast. And then she had a bottle of wine, and she lit some candles, and we are eating on plastic or really cheap plates. And it was such a fun and cool experience. Like, they had all these dreams of doing great things, and they've owned a house in Bangkok, they won a chalet in France, blah, blah, blah. They had nothing at the time. But yet they made that meal of egg and hot dog, and, you know, by candlelight, which is the only way I eat eggs, with hot dogs. And and it's kind of funny, but it's really true. It's about whatever you've got. You don't have to wait till the big house or the, you know, the expensive food or that. It, like right now, we could celebrate just in a simple, rich, and prosperous way. We just need to give ourselves permission to do it fully now. We don't have to wait for a special occasion. You know, sometimes we wait till the economy gets better, wait till I meet the right person, wait till the kids grow up, wait till the whatever. We got a whole list of all our... But the fact is, it's now. Prosperity is now. Life is now. Love is now. Fulfillment is now. Success is now. And the more we can get ourselves engaged in that and connected to that now, you know, the more we'll be able to attract it and enjoy it in the moments that come down the road. Abundance is everywhere. And I love hearing all the sharings of it. Our definition of abundance has expanded. Therefore, our experience of it has changed. And it's available for all of us. It's all there. And the more we make that energy move, the more we connect it to it, the more we become vehicles to allow it to flow through us in greater ways. Abundance is there. We just need to keep circulating that energy and practice, practice, practice. God bless you all. Just want to say, what a joy it has been to spend the last 10 weeks with you. Somebody said, I love Sundays. It's a smoking fun experience. Well, what I love about this is we get to be more intimate and connected to each other. We get to know each other's names. We get to share our experiences, our questions, our highs and our lows, and support each other in that experience. And to me, that's what makes this cast magic, is we get to connect on a deeper level, share on a deeper level, and learn on a deeper level. So thank you for being a part of this. It's been a smoking fun deal for me. I just want to acknowledge Billy and Susie for the phenomenal job. For Jeremy up in the booth and all the fabulous work he does as spiritual ed, you rock, baby. So here's the deal. It's 8:08. Let's break into our group. Oh, tithe. That is such a good reminder for the minister to have somebody to remind him. Pay the bills. Okay, so let's do our tithe. Let's hold it in our hands. Taking a deep breath. Filling our hearts with a sense of gratitude and appreciation for this amazing life we get to live. For this amazing body temple that we get to experience this life through. For the amazing people in our lives who love us and support us, encourage us and believe in us, who bring out our smile, and who are there for us when we shed our tears. We give thanks for the unique personalities and gifts and talents that God has given us. We give thanks for being a part of this amazing spiritual community. We give thanks for all the ways we experience God's abundance. Everyone, take a deep breath. Feel a sense of awesome, overflowing gratitude. And know that as we give, so too we receive. That we are grateful for this gift, and we are just as grateful to be able to give this gift, knowing it will bless more lives through this ministry and create an increased flow of good in our lives and in our world. I give freely, joyously, and gratefully. Together, I give freely, joyously, and gratefully. Deep breath. God loves a cheerful giver, and God likes a joyful receiver as well. So let's now affirm, and I receive freely, joyously, and gratefully together. And I receive freely, joyously, and gratefully. Deep breath. Expand your capacity to receive because you are so worthy of it. So for all the good in our lives and the greater things still to come, we truly give thanks. And so it is. Amen.